This is CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Yes, it is a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. It's a hump day. It's whatever you want to call it. But you're running out of Wednesdays for those last-minute things you want to get tied up for the end of the year. And I hate to say it, but you need to know these things. Otherwise, it's going to crawl up on you like Christopher Reeve.
Oh.
That's a line from an Eminem song. It's not original.
Also, shame this it. Reality of why you shouldn't be a show jumper.
Wow. All right. Good morning. This morning, Mabali Moloi is here.
Hello.
Sia Sangweni is here.
Yes, he is.
Ben Karpinski is here.
Yes, good morning. Hello.
And Amanda Muggy Romberg. Amanda is here. I'm sorry, I'm never going to get it right, am I?
No, it's all right.
Did I get it right?
Amanda's cool, though.
No, girl. No. You've got...
just say Amanda Romberg.
Okay.
There you go.
Amanda Romberg is here, people. Read him and weep.
Or you could
just... Gord Laws is coming in, too. He'll be here just now.
Yeah, Gordus has his own time.
Yeah, gorgeous like rolls.
I think he's Zuckerberg or something, the way he just...
Oh, guys. I just saw a tweet from him saying something along the lines of the N1 is like gridlocked.
Yeah, shame.
That's never happened before.
Ooh. Hey, listen, yesterday... Now, yeah, we've been talking a lot about traffic and weather and how it screws everything up. Did you see these videos coming out of Durban?
Oh, guys.
I mean, clearly what had happened in Gauteng was nothing compared to what I saw in Durban.
What happened?
Well, when you start seeing people checking in as safe... then maybe the storm is slightly more than like a little bit of hail.
Well, I saw those pictures of the highway near Amanzimtoti, where the old airport was.
Yes. Oof.
I mean, there were cars where there was only a little bit of the roof sticking out.
Oh.
People were climbing on top of their cars. Luckily in Durban, most people have a surfboard. So, they could have got away. But it is scary what was going on over there. Then there were all kinds of visuals of people who were trying to escape from cars that were being flooded. People whose back gardens and places of work, walls were washing away. Everything looked like a big, dirty, brown swimming pool. Everything. And apparently, look, I spoke to a guy who was caught up in... all of that mess in Durban, managed to escape it. He said he felt like a superhero because he drove through and like he avoided obstacles and he was going through really knee-deep water, made it to the airport, got out of Durban, and he was like, yes, I feel like one of those heroes in a Brad Pitt movie with zombies.
Yo, it's not ideal.
Yo, it's scary.
Yeah.
That is not ideal at all.
Some kind of mess to see, I must tell you.
So
it's unbelievable.
I got a message from my father yesterday.
Yes, because they're in Durban, right? Well,
firstly, as soon as I got a notification from him, I was like, oh Lord, what does this mean? What's going on? My stomach dropped. Then I saw I get this series of pictures. So I'm like, oh Lord, no, at least like, I don't know what to think. The first picture was from someone sitting in a car taking a picture of like the mess on the street, you know, the floods and whatnot. So I'm like, oh, he's stuck on the road. That's what's happening. And then I see another picture from a different perspective, still in the car as well. So now I'm starting to panic. I'm like, can I call him? He's stuck in the flood. Like, at least he's okay. He can text me. Then a message follows, oh no, got these pictures online, I'm okay.
See, does he not know you?
I don't understand.
He not set you off.
Like, does he find that funny? Is this time for jokes? Yeah, like, is he trying to set this?
What Ben is saying is spot on. Like, your father, of all the people in the world, should know not to send you anything like that.
I think it was so inappropriate.
The first thing he should send you is a picture of him sitting in a comfortable armchair.
Done.
Yeah. Then he can send you that other stuff. But I mean, for you to panic, can you imagine Sia panicking like that?
No. It was absolutely horrible because you didn't know what to think.
Anyway, the point is, yesterday I left here at a time where there isn't a huge amount of traffic. I think it was like one or two. And there was just a disaster on the highway again. I had to double back, go round past Marlborough, come all the way down Bowling, through like onto Witkoppen, into like where Eskom is, down through Waterfall. You cannot believe the kind of circuitous route that I had to take to get home. And it added easily 40 minutes. But if I'd sat in that traffic, it would have added 2 hours to my life. I don't know what's going on. I think obviously a lot of it has to do with this very weird, very bizarre weather that we're experiencing. And this, it's very hardcore weather. It's definitely got a bite to it. It's got teeth. Apparently this weather. Hey, Gord.
Apparently it's Nibiru.
What is that?
According to all of the like flat earthers and the conspiracy theory folk, Nibiru or Planet X or Planet 9 is making its secret pass to Earth. Also, I watched a friend of mine is like one of those loons that takes the shit seriously. And he's like, he posted like this very diplomatic thing on Facebook. He was like, I know that some people take this stuff too far and maybe at least some of it is like loons and whatever, but there's got to be a degree of truth. And I watched the first 2 minutes of a 9 minute long thing where a guy has collected images.
It's always 9 minutes plus, huh?
Got to be 9 minutes.
It's never short these
things. You
can't
be a proper bullshit artist without 9 minutes.
Oh, right.
So, but they were pointing out that like the color of the sun is changing. Like it's pinker around the edges. Here's a picture from 2012. Here's a picture. And it's like, eventually, that's what's causing all this crazy weather. And like it's going to switch the poles of the earth. Oh. I'm like, you're always on top of the earth, so like, does it really matter?
I mean, first of all, I watched ENCA last night because I wanted to see whether they had any. Facebook has way better footage than the news networks.
Sorry to hear it, Gareth.
No, I know, it was awful because they had Vuyom Voko, who I don't have a problem with, but the guy was sitting there. He dresses like a cabinet minister. You know, he was wearing like a waistcoat and a yellow tie, and I was like,
yes.
Dude, yeah, but you're not here. I mean, just do the news. And you, if you did the news really well, you could dress like Marilyn Manson for all I care. But he's not doing the news right. You can hear he's a rambling, got long questions that make no sense. He doesn't know what the subject matter is. He says things like, and I'm going to try and quote verbatim here so that you don't think I'm being mean. He goes, so tell us, to this meteorologist, he's a professor of meteorology from WITS. He says, so tell us, first question, out of the starting blocks, how much has this got to do with climate change? That's his first question, which is fine, but you should ask that later on, because first you want to establish, is this unusual? Because you can't go straight to, is this climate change, because I think it's unusual, if you're professional. Okay. So anyway, the guy goes, well, you know, it might have something to do with it. We don't discount that in science, but there have been storms and floods before.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been pretty bad ones. There have been worse ones than yesterday. So it's not as if there's a steady progression towards hell.
There has been some pretty like serious weather, though.
There's
like,
been a lot of serious weather.
It feels to me like crazy hardcore weather shit.
Here's what used to happen.
More often.
Okay, but that's because we're on the internet and because we find information at the drop of a hat. Now, everybody everywhere is connected, so everybody shares their information. If someone has a tiny little flood in their back garden, it's on the internet. So you can see it and you go, oh my God, poor old Lily, she seems to have had a lot more water than
imagine
usual.
Imagine if you were just the one that got a flood. You were like, well, it flooded, there was a torrential, tiny little hurricane
like
the
before,
size of a tennis court.
Before this was called local news, and it was something that would be part of what a local village, town, community would discuss. Now it's national news. Now the fact that, you know, there's a storm in, and it was a pretty hectic storm, don't get me wrong, a storm in Durban means that everyone in the world is that's just insane. Yeah, clearly this is unusual. This has never happened before, and it has happened before. People have short memories, and people aren't able to share data effectively.
So
they do is share outrage and shock and craziness easily.
So he said, good morning, is this to do with climate change?
Straight away, and then he goes, he ums and ahs and asks the guy, so, you know, these storms are devastating, but we need the rain. Is there a way we could get the rain without having to have the devastation?
Oh, yes, there's the volume switch in the cloud.
That was the question. And then I looked at my TV and I switched it off and I said, I'm not watching that ever again. I can't watch crap like that. I can't see someone talking drivel like that on a television station, which most South Africans rely on for news. They rely on it as their primary source of information. You can't have someone sitting there asking a dumb question like that. Can we have the water, please, but not so much of the devastation?
There's a trailer going around. I go to cinema and I see the trailer every time I watch anything for this movie, Geostorm. And like the premise of it, it's just a doomsday movie. Like okay. They just want to use CGI to show like waves bigger than skyscrapers and aeroplanes falling out of the sky and all of that good stuff. Frozen, people frozen on the spot. But the idea is that there's this grid of little like robots that form a grid over the planet. And it's like, in 2037... the ones who control the weather control the world. And they've got this like network of floating bullshit that creates weather, and they can like make it rain somewhere, and then if they want to weaponize it, they can hurricane somewhere else. And I'm like, yes, guys, you're running out of ideas hard.
Yeah. Was Dennis Quaid in the movie?
I don't know. It was one of those trailers it was so special effects orientated that I actually wasn't aware of actors. It was like, things get fucking weathered to death.
This is no time to leave home.
Ben, why are you wearing a short sleeve shirt, slip slops, and a scarf?
I'm going to play golf today, and I'm still recovering from whiplash. So I'm keeping my neck warm. There's a trance-like pad underneath here. Oh. So I'm hoping by the first tee, I'll be dandy.
Okay.
Ben is filming virtual reality videos now. VR. Ooh. You can put on a VR headset and watch him play golf.
Although that sounds thrilling. I can't wait to do that.
About as much fun as watching ENCA at night. Anyway, all right. But if
one day you'll be on your own here, Gord. And then you'll think it's the doomsday trailer is your life.
If you were stuck in horrendous traffic yesterday, or you had worse things happen to you, like the people in Durban, or by the way, the people in Krugersdorp, who they had a proper full-on tornado. Mm. Like trees were shattered. Big tall trees were shattered into toothpicks, and a school was completely ruined. The roof was ripped off. I mean, who knew they had a school in Krugersdorp?
Well, so.
that was funny. But like an actual one that picks up cows, because you know that it's full level tornado when it picks cows up. I remember learning that from, might have been in a movie, but
it was in a movie.
Yeah. Well, that's, I've always thought that's pretty hectic when the cow tornadoes come.
So I put up this picture yesterday of Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. And I said, Uber Durban. And I thought, you know, I mean, of course it's, you know, some people are going through shit. And humor is, by the way, just a way of dealing with shit. I remember it was only a few days after September 11th the jokes started. In fact, it could have been the day after. It was only a day after Princess Diana died those jokes started.
Well, it all depends on your WhatsApp groups they start.
I've got some pretty hardcore people on WhatsApp groups who don't really have a lot of, you know, that soft kind of let's all link hands and hashtag present thoughts. Mm-hmm. Because hashtag present thoughts, as we've discussed so many times on the show, are as worthless as the dump you took when you woke up this morning and felt a whole lot better afterwards. That is how much good they do, except that the dump you took actually does you some physical good. Hashtag thoughts and prayers do zero for the world. Zero. They never have achieved anything. There is no scientific evidence under laboratory conditions that someone who is prayed for gets better than someone who doesn't. In fact, they have proven quite the contrary, that if you pray for someone who's in hospital dying, they will die faster because they feel pressure to have to live up to what you're praying for them to get better for. And therefore, that pressure adds stress to them and they die faster. So your hashtag prayers and hashtag thoughts do not help. Anyway, put up this picture of Noah's Ark with Uber Durban on it.
Yeah,
it's obviously it's a tasteless joke. There's a lot of people who are losing property and maybe even their lives. And, you know, people die every day. And it's
losing
obviously
property and, you know, maybe their lives.
Sure. But there are people, of course. There are people dying in the last 5 seconds that I don't see you doing hashtag thoughts and prayers for. So let's not get all full of ourselves. Anyway, some people I don't know who follow me on Instagram, two or three of them, it wasn't a lot.
Yeah.
Give me a lecture on how this is not funny and I should know better and I should use my hashtag voice to do good.
Yes, to send to widely broadcast
the thoughts. These social media activists whose own hashtag voice is so small and whiny that I can barely hear it when I listen very carefully.
We should collectively think/pray for something every show. Like, I don't know. What do you guys reckon?
See if makes a difference.
Yeah, what do you guys reckon?
Anyway, let me finish the story. Let me finish the story. So this one girl says to me, and she lives in America, so I don't know why she hasn't got her own natural disasters to worry about, because there are plenty to choose from.
Yeah.
She says, oh, you're an insensitive schmuck, you're attention-seeking. And none of this is true. I put up the picture because it's funny.
Mm.
And even people in Durban replied and said, that's funny, we need a reason to laugh, it's been a tough day. Right? I don't know why, but there's this impulse in some people that they need to be able to not only decide for everyone else what is and isn't funny, which is crazy, it's ludicrous, because Gord finds stuff funny that Sia doesn't, and Mabali finds things funny that Ben doesn't. Humor is entirely subjective. The first thing you must resist is this impulse to, first of all, tell everybody else how to think and what to think. And second of all, to imagine that you have an ability to change what they think or how they think by complaining about it when they do. This is not within your authority. It doesn't matter how good a person you think you are or how many followers, because you might think your 300 that follow you on Twitter are a huge army, but they have already moved on to someone else's tweet by the time your supposed pseudo-profundity has smacked them between the eyes. Just calm down. You're not going to change anybody's opinion. You don't have any right to. You can't tell everybody else what is and isn't funny. And if you don't find it funny, and if you don't like it, and you don't like the person saying it, unfollow them.
Yeah.
Stop being a child.
Yeah.
It is not your place to tell everyone else what to think.
I'm going to need my pontificating music for this.
Oh!
But,
but people
start
off...
I love
off,
when you use pontificate.
Yes, I can't pontificate without my music.
All right, here
you.
It is.
Thank you. Here comes Pontification with Gord. In today's edition, let's discuss social media outrage and with reference to the Dove advert. People start off offended. They're already offended. They woke up offended. They want to be offended. And now they need some place to assign their offendedness to. So it's like waking up really hungry and going, okay, now I must find food. So the Dove ad, yes, it was a bugger up of an art department. Someone was like, they took their concept, which is a clear concept, has nothing to do with black people are just white people that need to be cleaned. The whole idea was, we're all the same underneath. And I read this blog by the woman, the black woman.
Yeah, I read it as well.
Yeah, she was excited. They understood the concept. The 30-second TV ad makes perfect sense. The one-minute TV ad makes perfect sense. And then the social media idiot, who's probably 23 and gets paid the equivalent of 6,000 rand a month to work 18 hours a day, screwed up making a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, like, oh geez, like we kind of, the message got messed up there. But it's like, now these people have got, no, by that I don't mean the ethnic group, I mean the social media warriors, have got something to be pissed off about for a couple of days at least. It's like Christmas.
Right.
It's like
Thank
Christmas.
God. Something like to be upset
so true, and they can feast on that.
Say like, oh, that's a, I think that that's really offensive. That's in poor taste. Shit, guys, you buggered that one up. And then go make coffee, and then go have a poo, and then live your life. Don't make it a week's worth of anger.
Already in half an hour, two people have taken a poo in the conversation that we had.
Yeah. I had a good one too this morning, if you want to go there.
Oh.
Nice, Ben.
Well, I think we've reached our...
seem a little bit less full of shit this morning.
Yeah.
Really, I think we've reached our quota, thank you. All but right. I've been watching, like, you know, the likes of the Ellen DeGeneres of the world who go on to their show and they're happy clappy, try to navigate these times without, sure. you know,
with
saying
sweat and anxiety.
They don't want to say anything that'll be unkind, or they don't want to say anything that'll, you know, upset anyone. So it's not like, hello, well, people died in Las Vegas. What are you going to say now?
Yeah, and they'd rather just pretend like, you know, they acknowledge it, or they burst into tears like Jimmy Kimmel. Which, by the way, is getting kind of tired.
Look, there's no right or wrong way. And I'm really not being mean by this. But I get that you want to use your platform for good. But listen, Wendy Williams with the big boobs, we just watch you for the big boobs and the fun. You know,
well,
don't give us a lecture for...
I'm surprised,
you know,
by
a lot
that.
Of things.
I'm just taking a rush for
Wendy,
big boobs.
Wendy Williams, you say?
I like Wendy Williams.
Now you'll Google
Wendy Williams.
So, yeah, she just apparently her boyfriend's been cheating on her, or husband's been cheating on her.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, I don't know. No one strong, just man. Knows what to do.
Here's the deal. Like, you're going to get it wrong. Mm. A lot of people are going to get it wrong. All these brands that are trying so hard to be middle of the road and not offend anybody. I got bad news for you. Someone's going to be offended at some point. Someone's going to be upset. It's like a joke. Every comedian in the world will tell you that every single joke they tell is going to upset someone in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's why my favorite comedian, Doug Stanhope, always says at the beginning, this is like going into battle. Not all of us are going to be here at the end. Which is a smart way of
it's
addressing.
Like if you're not pissing a certain number of people off, you're not saying anything. You're not doing anything.
I mean, you can always go, hello, my fellow South Africans. And after that point, something you say is going to piss off some group, and that's fine. What we've got to do is just grow up. Start being tolerant. You've heard opinions that you don't agree with. You're allowed to have that position. You're allowed to argue with that person.
Yeah, and pick your
battles. They're
allowed
to argue back. Yeah, and sometimes you'll win and sometimes you'll lose. I've lost plenty of arguments.
Yeah, you pick your battles. It's like, don't go off your tits about everything that someone says that you don't agree with. Save it, because if you get upset because someone's like, I like my water at room temperature with no ice, and you're like, that's unbelievable. Here's four links that prove why your opinion is wrong. Admit that you're wrong. And you just like, then one day there's like some real heavy sexism or some real heavy like racial inequality
and everybody
issue.
Goes, oh, that's the
and
dude
you have
who
a
overreacted.
Rant, and you're like, yeah, well, I don't really care what you think because you're a dickhead. Don't be a dickhead.
Well, I see Fikile Mbalula is coming in for a huge amount of heat at the moment because he has changed his point of view about who paid for a trip for him to guess where?
Dubai.
We'll get into that after 7.
Okay. Hey. That is the destination of all cabinet ministers. That's all they have on their the holiday
well,
agenda.
Well, cabinet ministers and blessees.
Yeah, I was about still to. I was waiting for the word you're going to use.
Who don't mind being defecated on by princes.
Ooh. Oh. Really? That's a story?
Poo-themed warning strikes again.
Are there blessees who've gone there to have princes
there are
shit
women,
on them?
There are women who get flown out to Dubai and get paid so that sexual acts can be enacted. Ooh. And part of those include fetishes of the nature of being defecated upon.
Wow.
Look, people do thing. That all over the world, but it's like... Yeah. But it's especially...
But I mean, Dubai, over the last several months, has really come to be known for many other things, as also the destination for blessees to be defecated on.
Bit of a shit jaw in Dubai.
Yeah. It's a thing. But it's a proper
it's
thing.
Like, they're such a misogynistic society. Jeez. And then also, like, now it's okay, we've got all the money in the world. What are we going to do? Okay, build islands and import belters to poo on them.
Yeah.
Like, I only poo on the best.
Stop it. No more pooing.
That's pretty much what was decided over the Hubbly
one
night.
One time in 1.5 hours.
Right, you know what, guys? I got this $1 billion out of nowhere. What do you want to do? I want to poo on a Russian girl.
First time.
Better than buying Manchester City.
Speaking of that, we've got to get into Harvey Weinstein at some point because this guy is a creep.
Because he's gotten into everyone else.
And
well, I mean, children as well. It's really quite frightening.
What I said like about the whole child pedophilia ring.
Yeah, it's disgusting, actually.
Ben did mention this, remember? He said there's a pedophilia ring, and we all went, Ben.
There was a few lone voices in Hollywood, and I backed their cause.
Well, you have had a couple of bizarre out there theories about Tupac and about Will Smith and a whole lot of other things, so...
Gareth, I'm nothing if I'm not consistent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
All right, everybody.
You people and your selective conscience.
Let's get stuck into this morning's 5 things you need to know with Mabali Moloi. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Do you want a free pizza?
Yeah.
Do you want a whole free meal with slices that you earn on Colcacchio Rewards? You can have these and more. All you need to do is download the app from your app store, register, and use your... Earn code every time you visit a Colcacchio's. Your points will add up faster than you know. Eat, earn, repeat. It's as simple as that. And if you want to know from an expert, Ben is a maestro.
They really do add up. That's the thing. Like, you just have a few sneaky purchases here and there. Before you know it, you've got ammo.
There you go.
And then you go to this friendly staff and say, hi, I have points. And they're like, I love that. Of course you do.
And let's not forget the epic build-your-own salad with the balsamic glaze and the croutons. Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't have to be pizza. Ooh.
You said that with such love.
It's my twice. It's like my favorite thing to go and do, and that's not even a plug. It's the truth. Well, it's not my favorite thing to go and do, food wise.
What is your favorite thing?
I like to visit Dubai.
Oh, no.
Over to you, Mubs. No. What do we need to know, Mubs?
Well, at least 5 people died in those heavy rains that battered KwaZulu-Natal yesterday. They were dealing with winds of up to 70 kilometers per hour that lashed into their homes, their cars. People got stuck in their cars. People had to be rescued out of their homes that got flooded. Severe flooding had occurred in Amanzimtoti and on the N2 between Amanzimtoti and the Bluff.
Sure.
Yeah, look, I'm pretty sure by now most of us have seen, you know, just how hectic the people in Durban how hectic the situation that the people in Durban were dealing with. And yeah, unfortunately, 5 people losing their lives there, 1 in Gauteng the day before. So it has been a bit of a rough time.
Sure. Well, hashtag thoughts and prayers. Now, I suppose there are a couple of things to be learned from this. First of all, even one of the hospitals had their roof torn off. The Prince Edward Hospital, I think it was.
Mm.
And or the King Edward Hospital, I can never remember which one it is. So there are a number of people who also will be in trouble today because they won't have a place to go if they need medical attention.
Yeah.
So it's things like that that really have a long tail that you kind of have to think about as well. There's obviously the horror of the immediate situation. And I'm surprised it's only 5 people. By no means do I mean to say that that's a good thing. But 5 people, we lose more than that every day in normal traffic. Every day in South Africa. So the numbers are actually quite low for a storm of that nature.
But I wonder what the actual damage in terms of cars and homes.
Insurance companies are going to be busy today.
That's fine. They're assholes. They are.
Yeah, until you don't have them. I got sorted out. I won't say obviously by whom, but I got sorted out by my insurance, which I've been begrudgingly paying forever. When my car recently got stolen with all my Apple stuff in it, you must know how happy you are to be paying that stuff when you got to buy a new car, a computer, and an iPad. Yeah,
no, that's true. All right, what else is in the news?
The South African Revenue Service has collected over R1 billion, ka-ching, from taxpayers through its special voluntary disclosure program.
Huh.
The program was introduced by the former finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, back in 2016, and it gives non-compliant taxpayers a chance to voluntarily disclose offshore assets and income. Taxpayers who missed a deadline for offshore tax relief can still do so under the normal voluntary disclosure program. But SARS giving themselves a nice pat on the back. They're feeling very happy about being able to collect that R1 billion. Good for you.
Right. Well, of course, good for them. I don't think we should ever congratulate SARS for anything. Ever. We're just encouraging them. And what they're there to do is take half, or if you're lucky, 25%, and if you're even luckier, 10% of everything that you earn. And they just take it away from you. They didn't ask your permission. They didn't do the hard work. They take it away from you because there is a government that lets them get away with it, and they will bully you into giving it over if you don't.
But at least SAA stay afloat, so to speak.
Right. And the SABC, which made R1 billion loss last year. So that billion will go straight into helping the SABC, and then we'll be back to where we started.
So tomorrow is almost D-Day because a house-sized asteroid will narrowly avoid a collision with planet Earth.
Oh, wow.
Phew. I bet you all those people who predicted the end of the world are feeling just a little bit disappointed that this asteroid is just going to miss us.
The house-sized one is not big enough to like end the world. It's just the equivalent of a giant kick in the dick for the planet.
It is dubbed 2012 TC4, and the space rock will shave past an altitude of less than 44,000 kilometers. And experts are really excited about this happening because they say that it gives them a rare chance to rehearse a real-life strike threat. Because rehearsals are important, people. Rehearsals are important.
What are we going to do? Dress up?
No, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. We're probably all going to lose our minds and start killing each other and looting and stealing and hurting each other. But the experts might have a bit of a plan in place. They're not telling us what the plan is, but they're saying that tomorrow's narrow escape is going to give them a rare opportunity of a real life threat, like just a little dress rehearsal.
These guys are just looking for lines to use on girls in bars. Oh yeah, you know there's an asteroid coming right. Yeah, that's my job. I monitor asteroids in the galaxy.
All right. Because what are we going to do? The fact is that you can't slow these things down. Mm. You can't make them go in a different direction. All that crap that you saw in that Armageddon movie exactly. with Bruce Willis is not possible.
And Ben Affleck's already got the goal. He's not going to go back up there.
They say, like, okay, if you detect the thing early enough and you can shoot rockets at it, you could deviate it like 0.5% of a degree, and by the time it's traveled another 1,000,000 kilometers, it'll be slightly off course. But the reality of the situation is you won't see it at all. No. Most of them are obscured by the Earth. If it's coming toward the Earth, it won't be coming from in between the Earth and the Sun. It'll be coming from the other side. And therefore will have very little light shining upon it, and it's small in comparison to a celestial body. Mm-hmm. So you don't see it even if the sun is hitting it. It will just hit. You won't know. You'll suddenly be dead. And like, mm-hmm. unless, again, if you live on the other side of the planet, you'll starve over the course of a couple of weeks right. and be radiation so to death.
The rehearsal must have meant what you said. We just stand there, look at the sky and go, ah! Mm-hmm. And that's it.
And we aren't monitoring 360 degrees of the sky. We've got some kick-ass telescopes, and then scientists book time and someone pays for it, and they aim it at a very specific small piece of the sky, and they study the shit out of that for a few hours, and then they take their data and they work on it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone takes turns. They don't watch the whole sky.
Having said all of that, we're a pretty small target. And for any asteroid anywhere in the universe to make its way right past us and even close enough to and perhaps even within range of us, that is a very, very small chance. The only thing that could happen is once it gets reasonably close, our gravity will help to pull it in.
Yeah, not really.
But they move with such... These things are fast, and they've got a trajectory, and they've got a path that they follow.
They go at like hundreds of thousands of kilometers an hour, and it's a rock the size of a city. Jupiter is our homie in this regard. Mm-hmm. Jupiter's like your big brother that stopped you from getting homie. The shit kicked out of you in primary school. Because Jupiter like sucks away, the gravity of Jupiter keeps the shit in the Kuiper belt from getting us. But if you look at the moon, which is not geologically active, i.e. doesn't have lava resurfacing it regularly, you see how much stuff actually does hit this neighborhood.
That's a good point.
Look at the moon. Every single one of those would have completely fucked your week up. Excuse my language.
I wish you were my teacher at school, Gord. I just got everything now. Thank you.
Me and Harvey would have educated you hard.
Well, I didn't mean like that.
It is about 15 to 30 meters wide with 30 times the kinetic energy of the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
So not very dangerous at all.
But what if it hits North Korea? Then how bad is it?
Because Kim Jong-un is going to immediately assume it's Donald Trump.
Then one dickhead and a few million innocent poor people die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all in on it.
Yeah, they vote for him secretly, with not under duress at all.
All right, well, that's I'm glad that this was a rehearsal. That's all I can say.
Let's all practice dying, guys. It's going to happen eventually. Let's have a quick death rehearsal. And good, continue with your day.
All right, now Porsche are going to begin an app-based subscription service next month, joining the ranks of automakers who are experimenting with more flexible ownership models.
Mm-hmm.
This is because ride-hailing and smartphones are basically kicking auto sales butts. The length of the pilot, called Porsche Passport, is initially going to be limited to just 50 people in Atlanta, and then is going to spread like an STD over the rest of the United States. The first subscription tier starts at $2,000, which is just a mere 27,300 rand a month. And basically it allows users to summon a 718 Boxster or a Cayman S or a Porsche Cayenne on demand. Yes. Wow. You can ride in style for just 27,300 rand a month. Right. Porsche Passport.
Isn't it cheaper to buy a Porsche?
How much a month?
Well, if you're in the US, it's $2,000, which is where it's going to launch first. Obviously.
You might just want to buy it. It depends if you're using it every day. If you're not using it every day,
it'll probably be slightly more expensive, but the thing is, you can stop at any stage. You're not stuck with a Porsche.
Yeah, and you don't have to sell it. You have to worry about resale value. Yeah, okay.
Because whenever you resell a car, you have to trade up just to kind of take the hit. You're always taking hits with cars, and then you're basically a slave.
We discussed this previously, but like the first thing you do when you get ridiculous, like Dubai money. No. The first thing you do is you hire a full-time driver. Like, that's it. If you get a DUI vibe and you're a super wealthy person, then you're a total asshole.
Yeah,
we've discussed this at length. But what does like a full-time driver and a Porsche cost every month? More or less. If it's, this is what, 23, did you say, Mubs? 27,000 rand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you buy a Porsche and have a dude on a dignified salary driving it for you?
I don't know. My maths is terrible. And if you ask me to start,
really get a driver for a KN, the Panamera.
No, you won't be able to pay for a driver's salary and then have money left for a Porsche on that. But you could have a dude driving you around in a
Toyota.
It would just
be silly having a two-seater with a driver, because you get a Porsche to drive it because it's an incredible driving car.
That's why we come to you for logic and reason, Ben.
All right. Well, speaking of logic and reason, let's get some more from Ben. It's time for the sport.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Sport, I may add, on heavy muscle relaxants.
Oh, are you on muscle relaxants?
Yeah. Well, yeah. This golf game today means a lot to me.
So if Ben just suddenly starts talking complete crap, you know why.
No, they've just really kicked in as you play the theme music. So, T20 Global League T20 in South Africa. It's not happening. So, hopes were relatively high. But there was all this controversy around Harun Lorgat, the CEO of Cricket South Africa. Well, he decided that, screw you guys, I'm going home. You know, he resigned a few weeks back. He was integral to making this thing happen. And it was South Africa's first real foray into the global T20 league, where international teams were bought and sold, players were put up for auction and bought and sold, all that kind of stuff. And, well, they said it's going to be postponed until November 2018. But that's kind of like, you know, you want to take a girl out, but she's not that into you. And she goes, oh, can't make this Saturday, but how about next Saturday? And then she doesn't return your calls.
Is that what that means?
Yeah. Shit. Yeah, that's what it means. So that's what's happened with the Global League T20. They say it's going to happen next year, but I mean, hopes really are now very low. And Kevin Peterson put it best. He said, you know, there was a lot of young talent that was going to learn and earn from this because dollars were coming into the country. That's what we need. Because the Guptas keep taking the money out and putting it in Dubai, we have less money. So these kind of things, we need it because foreign currency comes in, foreign interest, foreign investment, all these different things. Not going to happen. Also, what it means is that for the entire month of December, there is no cricket in a cricket-mad country. Yeah. It's just outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. What we have to look forward to in December? A 4/5-day test match against Zimbabwe. That is it. How the mighty have fallen, tripped, lost a limb, and been kicked in the head on the way down. It is a horrible story. It really is. I know they were kind of putting their eggs in one basket here, but maybe they've just missed the T20 bubble, have South Africa as well. That's something to also understand. Like back in the 90s, people were building golf estates because that was going to be the big thing. And then people try to build more golf estates and they're like, yeah, no one's got money for that anymore. Jeez. So it's really sad. It really is. And I feel for these young stars and I hope they haven't already spent the money in their mind because now they're not getting the money and it's just horrible. So we don't, obviously we'll learn more details around this, but what it comes down to is that there's no title sponsor. So we know the IPL, they sure that kind of stuff up very quickly. They rinse Pepsi for billions so they can sponsor this thing. And no TV broadcast deal. So T20 cricket is all about someone putting a whole bunch of money to be called the something something global T20 league and the TV deal. And there were none of these things. Harun Lorgat resigned. Everyone said, no, it's all happening. It's going to go well. And then yesterday there was a big board meeting where some suits got together and said, yeah, it's postponed.
Sure. That's bad news for cricket.
Sad story. Sad, sad story. Over to the World Cup qualifiers for Russia 2018. And yesterday I told you that Iceland, well, they're in the mix. They will be the smallest country in the history of the FIFA World Cup to ever qualify for this. It is the only country to ever have less than 1 million people playing.
They got less than 1 million people.
They've got like less than 400,000, Gord. But they're going to the World Cup.
Awesome.
So Serbia, as I said yesterday, now the new teams that are being confirmed, Portugal, they won Group B, their group in Europe. France did the same. Then in the South Americas, well, that was going to be the big talking point from yesterday because there was a chance that Argentina wouldn't make the World Cup. What an absolute horror show that would be. Yeah. But Lionel Messi, he's not called the best Lionel Messi in the world for nothing. not his actual title. Muscle relaxants. He scored a hat-trick. Good on him. So, you know, that's what happens when the cream rises to the top. Messi scored a hat-trick. His team won. They go through to the World Cup. But Chile, who are the South American champions, that is quite a surprise. They're out. Uruguay join Argentina, along with Colombia, who join Brazil, because they won, basically, South America. And they go through. But even bigger surprise, that Panama go through at the expense of the USA.
Oh, really?
How about that? Panama, tiny country. Basically, only people care about Panama is because America built a canal there way back in the day.
And Van Halen.
Sorry. Yeah. And corruption, Gord. I reckon there's a lot of defecating on chess in Panama as well.
Oh, here we go.
Because that's where a lot of that money goes.
Didn't the Nederlands also not qualify?
No. I was getting to that.
Oh, sorry. I thought that sounded like you'd wrap that part.
Well, I was going to go from one horror story to the next because I was going to reference your defecating on chest, and then that's what Netherlands feel like this morning
just
because they're not going.
Your plans, Ben.
That's all right, Gord. We'll wrap it up all together. So, yeah, Panama through, America not through, and wow, there's some big surprises. But this is what happens in sport. As they say in the classics, anything can happen. But I'm actually feeling a bit blurry now. It's great.
Well, you are on a sedation vacation.
Yeah, but like it hasn't been taking its toll the last couple of days. But this morning, it's really giving a kick.
Ooh-wish.
And in rugby news, the Boks are going to return to their respective provinces. But should they be playing? This is the big question. They shouldn't be playing this week. That's for damn sure. After that murderous match against the All Blacks, where, I mean, I needed an ice bath just watching that. They won't be in the mix here. But Kings Park has, of course, been flooded by what Gareth was mentioning earlier about the Durban floods. It was Odwa Ndugani's benefit or sort of tribute match happening, so hopefully the water will all drain and people can flood to the stadium to, well, not bid farewell. He'll finish the end of the season, but it's a big match in his honour. Hmm. That's pretty much it. Nick Kyrgios is being a dick again.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know, this guy... He's like the child you leave at the bus stop. He really is. Like, there's stuff going on there, but then he just goes back to resorting to who he is. Sri Lanka sealed the series win over Pakistan because Pakistan capitulated yesterday. And Mane is out of Liverpool's team for about 6 weeks. Hamstring injury.
Yeah.
I know. I get those.
Don't wish injury upon anyone, but it does help us for the Man United game on Saturday.
Who's us?
Man United.
God, this is not your sport.
I spend money on the gear. I'm part of the team.
Oh, guys, when they say us...
Yes, we do, Ben.
And then
all of us will kick you in the nuts.
Serena Williams, she'll be playing the Aussie Open. Yep, she's a mom, but she's going to get right back in there.
Wow, it didn't take long,
and
huh?
And torment all her skinny white chicks who love tennis.
Awesome.
That's when is that happening?
January's, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a couple of good months.
And with that, I'm going to take my leave. Gord, right. It's always been a pleasure. I'm going to go.
Seriously?
And go and hit high-velocity golf balls in the vicinity of other people.
I've got to drive 2 hours now.
Oh.
And then that's my big day.
Where is all of this happening?
Sun City.
Well, okay.
My happy place in the world. And then tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up, crack of dawn, and fly my drone around.
All jokes aside, though, you do seem high off your tits, Ben. Can you drive safely?
if anybody encounters Ben on his way to Sun City, they notice that his pupils are extremely dilated. He hasn't just come back from rocking the daisies. No. He's on his way to Sun City with muscle relaxants pulsing through his system.
Nah, I feel solid. I really do. Right. I had a good breakfast. As long as you eat, Gord.
All right, Ben. Thank you very much. There's Ben with sport for this morning. It is time for Sia to give us something inspiring to think about, something that's worth making you get up and get going this morning. And let's find him some appropriate music, something inspirational. Right, Sia?
Okay.
Take it away. What have we got?
Thank you. Well, this morning is a bit of an antidote to something we covered yesterday on the show. So we were discussing the leading deaths around the world or something, or the largest causes of deaths around the world.
Yeah, it was causes of death in America particularly.
Yes.
And the greatest, obviously, the highest incidence of death is abortion, which is man-made. And then as we discussed, obesity comes in there, mm-hmm. TB, diabetes, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, this morning I also, this is a, yeah, this is a bit of like an antidote, just trying to say that things might not be as bad as we think we might be. So with advances in medicine, for example, along with better safe practices, fewer and fewer people are actually dying from diseases or accidents and problematic lifestyles overall. So here's a list of declining death rates. So hopefully this will make you feel better, okay?
Cool.
So it's a bit of a top 10 list. So number 10, breast cancer. According to new research by the American Cancer Society, breast cancer deaths in the US alone have dropped by almost 40% since 1989, okay? So that roughly translates to about 322,000 averted breast cancer deaths. So this is actually good. I like this. Number 9, malaria. Thanks to the world's most effective malaria vaccine, global efforts in the last 15 years have led to a 62% reduction in malaria deaths between 2000 and 2015. So while there's still like a lot of cases in Africa specifically, development of the vaccine is expected to stop infections throughout the likes of Ghana and Kenya and Malawi by 2018. So that's,
and by the way, we've got to give some serious salutes and credit to Bill and Melinda Gates on this front, because they've put a considerable amount of their own money into fighting this plague, malaria, in Africa.
Huge.
And they've also included the likes of Yvonne Chaka Chaka, who's done a tremendous job going around the continent helping people, giving them nets, teaching them about malaria, giving them the vaccines. They've been doing tremendous work. She's been working there as a UNICEF ambassador with the United Nations. So
doing amazing
work. Our own Machaga and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, hugely responsible for that reduction in malaria deaths.
Yeah. So number 8, measles. We actually don't really hear a lot about this, but in 2014, deaths from measles plunged by 78% since 2000, as a global vaccination campaign have curbed outbreaks of the disease. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. Number 7, child deaths from disease. An article from the Global Burden of Disease Child and Adolescent Health Collaboration says that mortality among children and adolescents have decreased worldwide from nearly 14.2 million deaths in 1990 to just over 7.2 million deaths in 2015. Number 6, child deaths from car collisions. This is a major issue, and I just feel like it can be solved so simply. Prevention, guys, prevention. That's all it is. In 2014, a government report showed that the rate of American children dying in car accidents declined by 43% over the course of a decade.
Well, there was a story just 2-3 days ago on social media about how there was a baby in the back of a fatal car accident, killed one of its parents, or the driver, I'm not entirely sure. Mm-hmm. The child was safe because it was strapped in and in a baby seat.
That's all it is.
It didn't sustain a single injury.
Yeah.
So if you have children, and again, I don't really have a dog in this fight, except that I don't want to see innocent children dying for no good reason. If you're the kind of parent who lets your kid climb around in the back of the car, you don't strap them in, whatever's going to happen, you're going to have to take responsibility for that. Just like Oscar Pistorius took responsibility for Riva eventually. You have to accept that you have a hand in killing someone if you're not prepared to look after them and they're too small to make decisions for themselves.
It's the truth.
And just because you were the parent who made that child doesn't make you any less guilty of murder.
No.
It's like letting them wear Crocs when they don't know any better.
No, it's not. Well, it's not like that at all. But yes,
it's irresponsible parenting is my point. It's probably more serious irresponsible parenting.
Okay, right.
But it's the same mindset.
As you round off the list, number 5, maternal deaths. So in 2000, a study was established by the United Nations to drive maternal and child deaths down by 2015, and indeed, the improvement actually like was evident, resulting in maternal deaths falling significantly between 1990 and 2013. Number 4, aviation. So we can all breathe a sigh of massive, massive relief. According to a report, 2016 was the second safest year for aviation on record, led only by 2013, which experienced only 265 deaths out of the 3 billion people who boarded planes.
Isn't that amazing? Like 3 billions and billions
and billions and billions.
3 billion people get onto planes, and in 2013 only 200 and something died, and last year was the second safest year. So here's the thing, everybody.
It's perspective.
Yeah, and there's a steady improvement in everyone's life, even if it's imperceptible. You take so much for granted that you forget how you lived 10 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for reasons to see it all going for a ball of shit. And it really isn't. Even South Africa, where we complain daily about our politicians, we complain about storms, we complain about traffic, we complain about things all the time. Just realize that all around you, life is better for anyone born now than it ever was for anyone born before.
I stand to be corrected on this because I didn't like research it or run it past Snopes, but I've heard
Snopes.
I've heard a couple of times that we live in the least war ravaged time of all time.
Yeah,
like relative to the population, fewer people are at war than have ever been.
Right. So don't believe all the bad news that everybody tries to serve up to you, because we're programmed by fear, and in order to prioritize things in our minds, our primitive mammalian brains try to prioritize things according to how immediately dangerous they are to us. So if you are selling news, or if you're in the business of marketing and advertising, you make something terrifying, people will automatically see that in brighter and bolder color than they will see anything else in the news.
Exactly. You know, that is why you have said by seer, because you correct. Will not hear this anywhere else. And let me tell you.
Right.
Okay. A new report also shows that HIV/AIDS is no longer the leading cause of death in Africa, actually showing a 24% decrease over 5 years in the number of deaths from AIDS and HIV as well. Number two, strokes. Fewer people are actually having strokes these days, party people. We are not having that. So we can also.
What kind of stroke do you mean?
Okay, moving on, and the last point on the list, smoking-related deaths. Now, while it may not technically be a decline in actual deaths, smoking cigarettes is the leading cause of preventable deaths in the US and the rest of the world. But thankfully, more and more smokers are quitting the harmful habit every single year. So, folks, things aren't as bad as they actually might seem.
It's weird, though.
We're improving. We're being better.
Like, eating the... good tasting but bad for you food, smoking, which probably doesn't really qualify for what I'm about to say because it's not actually a jowl, but smoking and sex and good, it's like the better, more of a jowl it is, the more likely it is to kill you. Like, there's a correlation between jowl level and death. Like, and kayaking is going to keep you alive, and that can't actually be that much fun. But I read also on IFL Science, who I just take as gospel, even though there might not be, that now if you are an HIV positive person and you're like, you're on the currently the best to offer, the best in on the market
antiretrovirals.
Yeah, but there's antiretrovirals are different, like the ones that you take on a day-to-day basis to maintain your jowl. If you're on that and your viral count is where it's at optimum, you can no longer infect people through like sexual intercourse.
Well, don't tell anybody that, because then they'll start being irresponsible.
Yeah. No, but you got to be like, you got to go for your HIV checkup and doctor say you're at optimal now, and then still probably like use a Connie, but that's amazing. They can control it to the point where you don't transmit it.
For people who think I have my own vocabulary, like they have not spent time with Gorn, like a Connie, I was like, oh.
Who we got on the line here, Amanda? Let's, okay. Hi, good morning.
Morning, guys. It's Rob. How are you?
Hey, it's Rob from Hilton. You've got Howick. Sorry, have you got some conspiracy theories for us this morning, Rob?
I don't. But the rain. We had a lot of rain yesterday, and my neighbour, he's an Indian chap. He was singing. He's been known as he was singing "Raindrops Keep Falling on Ahmed."
Are you all right, Rob?
I'm great, thanks.
All right, thanks, man. Thank you for the call. There's Rob.
No, Rob.
All right, when we come back, we'll check in on some news. That's the next thing on the agenda. Stick around, cliffcentral.com at 7 o'clock.
This is cliffcentral.com.